Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
Bill Shank Show. I'm Russ Brown. Bill Shanks has the day off. Apparently, Chuck Oliver didn't feel like going until 3 o'clock today, so we'll jump in here a few minutes early. Again, sitting in for Bill. I apologize here. I didn't have a countdown going there, and it's 2:59 according to my clock. But hey, here we are. It is a beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in Middle Georgia. Got some clouds gathering out there, so keep an eye on the sky as always. But always good to be with you. I have lots of open phone time on the program today as the Major League Baseball All-Star Game gets underway tonight. Tomorrow on Tuesday, or the Wednesday, rather, after the Major League Baseball All-Star Game has always been known as the slowest day in sports. But I tell you, it's not that way right now. We've got, I was putting together the rundown this morning. I mean, we've got NBA stuff we can talk about. We've got, of course, Major League Baseball with the Home Run Derby last night. That was absolutely incredible. And all kinds of good stuff going on in the sports world. Of course, we can always talk some college football. We'll get into that a little bit later. The big Omari Spellman trade, a lot of people still talking about that with the Hawks acquiring Jabari Parker. What's going to happen with Russell Westbrook? So it's just it's usually you don't have this much going on in the sports world at the beginning or rather at the All-Star break for Major League Baseball. So plenty to get to on the rundown today. Again, open phones throughout, 478-646-ESPN is the number if you want to join in on the conversation. It is just you and us today. Here on the program. So I wanted to start, obviously, with the Home Run Derby last night. Easily the best Home Run Derby I think I've ever seen in my life. You've got, look, there's a lot of talk about the baseballs being juiced. I don't think there's any doubt that they are. And we can get a little bit deeper into that topic as we go along here on the program today, because Justin Verlander had some comments about it last night. Rob Manfred kind of fired back the commissioner of baseball this afternoon. So we'll talk about what he had to say. Some interesting comments from both sides on that. But, you know, wherever you fall on the juice ball argument, you like it, you don't, it's indifferent. I think we can all agree it made for a really entertaining Home Run Derby last night in Cleveland, Ohio. The record portion of it, a lot of people are buzzing about that. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. absolutely put on a show. He hit 29 home runs in the first round, which was a record for a single round in the Major League Baseball Home Run Derby. It lost a little bit of its luster when he broke his own record tied his own record about an hour later. And then Jock Peterson, who was competing against him in the same round, did the same thing. So, you know, the number of home runs hit last night, obviously a record. That has a lot to do with the juice ball, but it made for some entertaining baseball. It made for some great competition in that second round matchup between Jock Peterson and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That's the best I've ever seen Major League Baseball's Home Run Derby. And it was a fun night. It was a good night for baseball. It was a good night for Cleveland. It was a really good night for the Home Run Derby. We talk about the NBA slam dunk contest when it comes around about how it's not what it used to be. And the thing, I don't know how much this influenced the show that we saw last night, but you have to imagine it did to some degree, because we saw a great spectacle of home run hitting last night. In the NBA All-Star game, the slam dunk contest has lost some of its luster. It's not what it used to be. Well, this year, Major League Baseball implemented a $1 million prize to the winner of the Home Run Derby. Now, obviously, professional athletes, especially your upper echelon All-Stars in Major League Baseball, can make a lot more money than that. So, you know, $1 million is a nice little bonus for them. But for some of these young kids like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Pete Alonso, the rookie who won it, they're still in their rookie contract. So that's twice as much as they're going to make in this year. And then, you know, it sweetens the pot a little bit. Maybe in the future we could see Major League Baseball do that. But, or excuse me, see the NBA do that with the slam dunk contest. But it was awesome. It was a great display last night in Cleveland, and a really fun event. And it was cool to see Ronald Acuna Jr. in the mix. It was cool to see Ronald Acuna Jr. advance. And Alonso got him right there on that last hit. But I thought overall with the Home Run Derby, it was a good night for baseball. Now, that gets us into the conversation of the juice ball. You get into the record-setting portion of last night, and I'm just not buying into it. We've seen home runs hit at a rate in 2019 that are higher than we saw oftentimes during the steroid era. There's a lot of numbers. There was a good study done posted on The Athletic by an astrophysicist to kind of back some of these numbers up. You know, the higher velocities from the pitchers probably may have an influence on it for sure. I know launch angle is a big topic of conversation in Major League Baseball now with the way these batters are swinging the bats. But the reality of it is the fly ball percentage rate is up from 17 and 18 by 0.5%, but the home run rate is up. Memory serves, it was 12 to 17%, according to some studies. So, you know, the ball's juiced. So Justin Verlander last night comes out and basically says as much. We're playing with a juiced baseball. There's no doubt in his mind about it. You know, if you read that article, there's some comments from different managers about pop-ups hit off the end of the bat that go over the wall. Pitchers say sometimes the ball can feel like trying to throw an ice cube because you can't get a grip on it. It's tightly wound, and there's no doubt in their minds that there's something different about the baseball in 2019. Now, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, I don't think he's denying that there's something different about the ball, but he's saying Major League Baseball is unaware. Which it gets us down to really two roads we can go down from there. Number one, that he has told Rawlings, the company that makes the baseball, to wind it differently, wind it tighter, so that it increases offense, which he's denying that. The second thing is, Rawlings has done this without telling Major League Baseball. But here's the problem. Major League Baseball owns Rawlings. So you can only really come to two conclusions. The commissioner of baseball is either lying or incompetent. So the ball is different. The ball is juiced. And you see the records last night in the home run derby. You throw those out. But it made for a great night of competition. We were joking on the midday show earlier today. You know, take the balls from the home run derby. Take the juiced ball. Keep them. Put them in a bucket. Store them away in a clubhouse somewhere. And bring them back out for the home run derby. Because that was a lot of fun. But when we get the season rocking and rolling again, can we go back to a regular baseball? And there has been talk that over the course of the next 4 days, and you know, I don't know how much of this is a report and how much of this is a rumor, but that they're going to go back to the more traditional baseball that we've seen in years past going forward for the rest of the season. I hope that they do, because you're going to get to a point where the records and some of the things, the numbers you're seeing this year are going to get just a little bit silly. We know the weather's starting to heat up July and August with this ball. I mean, you've got guys at the All-Star break approaching 30 home runs. What's that number going to look like with a couple of months of heat and humidity that's going to help the ball carry? You know, I referenced the steroids era and how the ball is flying out of the park at a higher rate now than it did back then. I remember that summer with McGuire and Sosa, and they both hit over 60 home runs, and that hadn't been done since Babe Ruth. It was a really cool thing to watch. But it kind of lost its luster when the same thing kept happening, only it was more people, and then you had a guy hitting 70. It's a silly record. To this day, people don't give Barry Bonds the credit for being the home run king. And frankly, most of us here in the South are going to tell you in a heartbeat, he's not the home run king. Hank Aaron's the home run king because Hank Aaron didn't have any help. Well, these guys right now, it's they have help. They have the help of a juice ball. Now, it's not cheating, which steroids was. They were cheating in the steroids era. Nobody's cheating right now. They're just being helped by a tighter wound ball that has less drag on it, so it's able to travel further. Hence the pop-ups off the end of the bat, sometimes going over the wall. But it does call into question some of the numbers we've seen in the first half. And for the commissioner of baseball to say he has no knowledge of it, I mean, you're the commissioner of baseball. We're talking about the baseball, and you own the company that makes the baseball. How do you not know what's going on with the baseball? I hope we see him interviewed tonight. I hope he doesn't stick his foot in his mouth like he did last year with Mike Trout, but he probably will. So we'll pay attention tonight with the All-Star game to see what is going on with the commissioner. If he's asked about it, if he has any comments about it, I'll be curious to see where that goes. You've seen the lineups by now, I'm sure. As far as the Braves are concerned, Freddie Freeman will bat third and play first base. Ronald Acuna Jr. will bat ninth and be in the outfield. You know, at first I saw Acuna Jr. batting ninth, and for Braves fans, we're like, wait a minute, why is this guy batting ninth? He started the year out as the Braves cleanup hitter, and now he's the leadoff guy. And you know, surely he's better than a ninth place hitter, and I'm with you on all of that. But I look at it this way. You know what? If Dave Roberts says, hey, Ronald, you're getting two at-bats, that's going to keep him in the game longer, right? So Ronald Acuna Jr. may play into the fourth or fifth inning. And we'll get to see him in there for a little bit longer than, say, Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman gets two at bats. He could be done by the second, third inning, depending on, you know, how the offense is flowing with the juice baseball. So it doesn't bother me as much. I don't know how I think everybody probably watches the All-Star game differently. I mean, the way I'll watch it tonight is simply, I love the opening ceremony, for lack of a better term, where you have the introductions, you have the anthem, there'll probably be a flyover, all that cool stuff, a ceremonial first pitch. I love all of that. And then as soon as Acuña, Freddie, and Soroka are done, I'm probably done myself. So the longer that those guys can be a participant and be in the game, the better it's going to be for Braves fans. Programming reminder, if you're riding around out and about town tonight, we will have the Major League Baseball All-Star game here on the radio. So if you're not in the house, maybe you have to step out, run an errand or something, you can keep up with what's going on right here on the Superstations, as we'll have that one for you tonight. So that's some of the big news going on. We talked yesterday about Amari Spellman being traded to Golden State with Jabari Parker coming in and what that could mean for the Hawks. It's amazing to me that we're sitting here on July the 9th and I can sit here and talk about Hawks basketball, and not just Hawks basketball. I mean, the Hawks are interesting enough, I think, to where, I don't know about you, but I find myself paying more attention to the NBA. This Russell Westbrook stuff that's cropped up, where the Oklahoma City Thunder star could be traded to the Miami Heat. The rumor out there, the way the wind's blowing on this one, is Oklahoma City's looking to move Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook's open to the idea. Miami's interested. Russell Westbrook likes Miami. This seems like it's going to be a slam dunk. If Russell Westbrook goes to Miami, it's going to change the course of what we're talking about with the Hawks and going into the future in the Eastern Conference. If you had to ask me right now, going into the 19-20 season, who the best team in the East is right now, today, July 9th, 2019, I say it's the Milwaukee Bucks. After that, I think Philadelphia's in the mix. Brooklyn is not going to be in the mix yet. I don't think they're in the mix until Kevin Durant comes back. Kyrie Irving's a great player, but look, Boston was a 4 seed with Kyrie. I'm not sure New Jersey. I'm not sure Brooklyn, wrong Nets. I'm not sure Brooklyn has the same talent around Kyrie that Boston did. Now, the makeup and the chemistry is going to be different in Brooklyn, and maybe the chemistry aspect of it isn't a problem, so the Nets are better. I don't know, but until Kevin Durant really joins forces there, I'm not ready to put them at the top of that list. Then you get to the potential of Miami landing Russell Westbrook. You throw Jimmy Butler into that mix, and I think that would make Miami the second or third best team in the East, and I'm not kidding you. Russell Westbrook, with what he did on that Oklahoma City Thunder team last year, he had Paul George, the third best player on that team. We can have a debate on who the third best player was, but there's only two candidates. It's either Adams or Schroeder. Steven Adams or Dennis Schroeder. Who is the third best player on the team in Oklahoma City? You take basically Russell Westbrook, you put him in Miami, you replace Paul George with Jimmy Butler, and you're telling me there's not a couple of guys hanging around the Miami Heat as good as Adams and Schroeder? I mean, and plus, we know the Eastern Conference not as strong as the Western Conference, and oh, by the way, Kawhi Leonard's out of the equation because he's with the Clippers, so it makes Toronto that much weaker. Whatever you thought Toronto was 2 years ago, with DeMar DeRozan, take DeRozan out of that equation, and that's what you have with the Toronto Raptors now with Kawhi Leonard gone. So the Eastern Conference is wide open. This would be a big move for the Heat if they make it. Whether they make it or not, look, the Hawks aren't going to be in contention for this year. I'm thinking 40 to 42 wins, and for most of the people I talk to, that seems really optimistic as far as a win total for the Atlanta Hawks in the 2019 season. So we'll see. But 2-3 years down the road, we got to start looking at this stuff. And what are teams doing right now to kind of knock down the door of the Eastern Conference? Because, look, a year ago, it was LeBron James going to the Lakers. Toronto got Kawhi Leonard, won a championship. The rest is history. He's gone. So we're right back to where we started from last season. And the Hawks are 1 year better, one draft deeper, and next summer they're going to be a free agent better. So keep an eye on this. Again, it's a rumor, but it sounds like Russell Westbrook could be headed to the Miami Heat. And whatever happens with that is definitely going to influence what we see in the Eastern Conference. Some of the other stuff going on in sports today that we'll get into a little bit later. I wanted to talk a little Georgia football. We'll do that later in the program. Kind of looking at what I was doing last night and looking at the upcoming UGA season. Is kind of comparing the schedule in 2018 to the schedule in 2019. Obviously, look, with Notre Dame, Texas A&M on the schedule, it's going to be a lot more difficult than it was a season ago. We know that. But still a very manageable schedule for the Georgia Bulldogs. And I don't think it changes anything as far as what the season's going to boil down to. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. Urban Meyer's got a new podcast coming out. We'll make fun of that. Guy's a creep to me. We're coming up on the end of the segment. I can't get into it right now. We'll get into that a little bit later on. And of course, any news coming out of Cleveland with the All-Star game, we'll let you know. If there is a trade in the NBA, we'll get into that as well. And also, we can have some Braves talk as always here on the program. If you guys have any predictions or thoughts on what we might see in the second half of the season from the Atlanta Braves, we can certainly get into that. You've also got possible trades on the horizon. Who do you think the Braves need to go after? Who do you want to go after? Is there a certain player? Is there a position? I mean, I think we all know it's going to be a pitcher, right? But maybe you see something in the field. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't see it, but maybe you do. So wherever you guys want to go in the world of sports is fine with us. Again, the phone number is 478-646-ESPN. A ton of stuff to cover here on the program on the day of the All-Star game. And again, as I started the segment out by saying, it is hard for me to believe that tomorrow, which is considered the slowest day in sports, it's not slow at all. I mean, you talk about a 24/7 news cycle. We're in one now in the sports world. And I'm going to tell you this too. There are topics in sports right now we could get into, really deep political type stuff we could get into that I'm not even going to touch because, frankly, it gives me a headache. I mean, so there's topics we're leaving off the rundown on the day of the All-Star game. It's really something to see, that is for sure. Again, 478-646-ESPN. You can talk about the Home Run Derby, the All-Star game tonight, what's going on in the NBA, your favorite college football team, your favorite pro football team, Falcons fans. You want to talk some Falcons football? We're here for that. We can go anywhere in the world of sports you would like to go. Again, 478-646-ESPN is the number, and we're back with more of the Bill Shank Show right after this. Welcome back into the Bill Shank Show. Russ Brown with you here this afternoon, talking a lot going on here at Major League Baseball's All-Star break, which is not something you can normally say in the world of sports. Yeah, you know, looking at the Eastern Conference of the NBA right now, this thing feels so wide open. And we talked about earlier the Russell Westbrook rumors linking him to the Miami Heat. And I think it was one of those things I kind of knew, especially with Kawhi Leonard going to the Clippers, that it's opened things up more in the Eastern Conference. But it really kind of rang true with this rumor, and you start to think, okay, you look at all the movement we've had in the NBA this offseason so far, and there's still more to come, so it's hard to make any real bold predictions or definitive statements right now because there's still some moving that has to go along with this. But you look, just looking at the standings from last year, the Miami Heat were 39-43. You know, not great, four games under 500, but right there in playoff contention. They missed the playoffs by two games. Detroit was 41-41. They were the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. All right. You look at the top team in the Eastern Conference last year, the Milwaukee Bucks. Okay. Milwaukee is probably the favorite now in the Eastern Conference because obviously they still have the Greek Freak, which is where you kind of begin and end with this conversation. They did lose Malcolm Brogdon. He's a Pacer now. And they lost some guys further down on the roster that, you know, were kind of role players, didn't have a huge impact on the team. But all in all, other than Brogdon, the Milwaukee Bucks are kind of intact as they were. All right, then you get to the number two team in the season standings from last year, the Toronto Raptors. Well, that's obvious, right? Kawhi Leonard has moved on. Kawhi Leonard is now a Los Angeles Clipper, and one that you can't forget about this either, Danny Green is now a Los Angeles Laker. Danny Green's a good player, and he will be missed. They were able to retain Patrick McCaw. They acquired Stanley Johnson, and they got Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. I don't know about you, but Stanley Johnson and Hollis Jefferson replacing Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green is a loss for the Raptors. How far will they fall? I'm not sure. Toronto's still got some good pieces. They're still a pretty good team, but I think it definitely throws them, if nothing else, to the back of what I would call the 48-win pack. If you go back to the Indiana Pacers, 48-34 a season ago. The next closest team down in the standings was Brooklyn, and there was a little bit of a gap there, a six-game gap. Brooklyn was 42-40 last year. So I think, if anything, Toronto falls back to a five seed. You know, Philadelphia, the Sixers, they're kind of in a position now where Jimmy Butler's gone. So they've got to replace Jimmy Butler, but they still have a lot of young talent that just needs to take a step forward. They also lost J.J. Redick, who played some significant minutes for him, but again, an older player. They've added Al Horford, so he'll kind of bring a veteran presence there as well. And we'll see. We'll see how that kind of shift, that shuffle, if you will, affects the Philadelphia 76ers. But I would still expect them to be near the top of this division. Boston's a complete and total wild card to me. And it's hard to predict teams like the Celtics because you're dealing with addition by subtraction. Kawhi Leonard, a very talented player. He was probably the most talented player on that team. But the clubhouse chemistry was awful, and it destroyed that team. I know some people don't buy into clubhouse chemistry. Look, I don't think you have to have clubhouse chemistry to win a championship, but if you don't have clubhouse chemistry and things start to go south, you're not getting it back. I think that's what happened to the Celtics last year. They've added Kemba Walker to the mix with Kyrie Irving going to Brooklyn. Of course, Horford, who we mentioned earlier, he's out of the equation. Terry Rozier's in Charlotte now. Marcus Morris is in Sacramento. So they've had some changes on their roster as well, but for the most part, you know, I think Boston's still going to be a pretty good team. I think the Pacers are still going to be a pretty good team. But it just goes to show you, if Russell Westbrook is indeed added to this mix for the Miami Heat, they could catapult right to the top of the Eastern Conference. Now, you may be wondering to yourself, Russ, in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, college football season's right around the corner, why the hell are we talking about the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference? Because the Hawks are right there. They're right there. They are right there. And there's nothing that I see in this conference down the road. And that's the key to the whole thing when you're talking about the Atlanta Hawks. It's down the road. There is no reason in my mind that two or three seasons down the road, we can't talk about the Atlanta Hawks as one of these teams like we do Milwaukee, like we do Philadelphia, like we do Miami. Again, the big change next offseason, we already know, in the Eastern Conference is going to be Kevin Durant, assuming he's healthy, joining the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie Irving. Both of those players kind of have some strikes against them, if you will, some kind of personality things. You know, they've had a hard time getting along with teammates. They kind of got diva tendencies. Their egos need to be stroked. You had a couple of organizations in Boston, Golden State, not really interested in doing that anymore. And they've kind of paired up and teamed together. That's going to make Brooklyn a favorite in the East. It just is. When you get two of the best players in the game on the same team, they're going to be good. You know, a lot of people out West are talking about the Lakers. Now, I'm not as sold on the Lakers as a lot of people are, but if you think they're going 37-45 with LeBron James and Anthony Davis now, you're crazy. Say what you want to about LeBron. Say what you want to about Davis. Those are two great players, and they're going to make the Lakers better. So Brooklyn's going to be in that mix. Milwaukee, as long as the Greek Freak's there, they're going to be in that mix. But there's no reason two or three years down the road the Atlanta Hawks can't be in that mix. Starting next offseason, the Atlanta Hawks will have the cap space available to them to add two max free agent contracts. Now, if you look ahead to the free agent list for next year, you're probably not going to see anybody's name that gets you excited. You go to the 2020 list of NBA free agents, and Kyle Lowry, Gordon Hayward, Paul Millsap, DeMar DeRozan, Otto Porter Jr., Anthony Davis does have an opt-out. Now, that would get me excited. Andre Drummond, Hassan Whiteside, Nicholas Batum, Chandler Parsons, Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Alan Crabb, Derek Favors, Bismack Biyombo, Tim Hardaway Jr., Kent Bazemore, Evan Turner, Goran Dragic. I mean, I think you get the point. There's Draymond Green that's in there. But I think you get the point. There's not really anybody from a superstar standpoint, other than potentially Anthony Davis, that's going to be available that you would want to give a max contract to. So, and I trust that this front office is going to be very smart with that. I don't see any qualms with just kind of kicking that can down the road, so to speak, you know, don't go give a guy a max contract just because you can, and kind of take your time a little bit. Maybe you can use that space to trade. You know, maybe there's a player that's unhappy with his current situation that would thrive in Atlanta. Maybe Anthony Davis wants out of LA, and you can do a sign and trade with the Lakers because they're going to want to get something for the guy, right? Now, there's just no guarantees that Anthony Davis opts out. If everything goes well in Los Angeles this season, he's going to stay in LA and play with LeBron James. We know that. And that's kind of what he wanted. So that's the most likely scenario. But, you know, just keeping my eye out for – we're talking about a potential Russell Westbrook trade now that would send him from Oklahoma City to Miami. Now, while a player with Westbrook's style might not fit in – well, I won't say might not. It won't fit into what the Hawks are trying to do. I mean, with the Hawks, you would have to completely blow up what you've started because, you know, Trae Young's your point guard. I'm not saying Trae Young's better than Russell Westbrook, but I seriously doubt this early into the process Travis Schlenk's ready to pull the cord on Trae Young, right? But anyway, the point is, if you get to next season and there's a player of that caliber that could be on the trading block, if you can afford to add two max salaries, you can add a player to that level. And that's kind of where the Atlanta Hawks are. And here's what they've already accomplished. The reason we can have this conversation realistically, and there may still be some people out there that kind of laugh at the thought of the Atlanta Hawks being a contender for the Eastern Conference title. They've only ever been to the Eastern Conference Finals once. And it was 5 years ago, and nobody on that roster is on this team. So if you're laughing at the notion, I get it. I get it. Historically, you should be laughing. But things have changed in Atlanta, and it starts with Tony Ressler and the ownership group. He has come in. He wants to build a winner. He wants to win a championship. You know, it's like it's kind of like with athletes. You know, you have a kid, and he just wants to get drafted. Zion Williamson may be a good example of this. Growing up in the Spartanburg area, did Zion Williamson want to be a New Orleans Pelican? You know, a year ago when he was getting set to go to Duke University and he knew he'd be there for 1 year and then he'd probably be the number one overall pick in the draft, was he telling his teammates at Duke? Man, I don't know about y'all, but I sure do hope New Orleans gets that number one pick. I seriously doubt that. But he wants to win, and that's what was available to him because he was drafted. He was drafted by the New Orleans Pelicans, so he's going to go try to win for the Pelicans. It's similar for Tony Ressler in that he wanted to own a pro sports team. Okay, you can't drive through the neighborhood and see a for sale sign in the yard to go buy the pro sports team. They're not just readily available. So his opportunity came along, and it was the Atlanta Hawks. So Ressler says, okay, here we go. We're Hawks now. Look at what he's done in the short time he's on this team. I mean, we'll get to Travis Schlenk in a second, but let's start with the ownership group. The Emory Healthcare Facility, where the practice courts are, the training, all the stuff they do in the offseason. I mean, the Hawks headquarters, really, if you think about it, are going to be at that healthcare center. Now, I haven't been. I haven't seen it. But everybody that's talked about it talks about what a world-class facility is. And that stuff's going to help you attract free agents. If you've been to State Farm Arena and seeing the renovations, the place doesn't even look the same. I mean, the minor details in terms of lighting and the concourses and how they've opened them up to make them more fan-friendly to the big, obvious renovations, like you don't have suites stacked on top of suites on one side of the arena. I mean, the place looks phenomenal. And what they've done to kind of update – and Phillips Arena was nice. When the Hawks moved in there, it was nice. When they decided to renovate it, it was still nice. They've made it nicer. He's made it better. That's Tony Ressler with the ownership group. It's a fan-friendly place to go. And now with Travis Schlenk, who Tony Ressler kind of identified the guy he wanted to run the basketball side of this, and it's Travis Schlenk, and he's done the most important thing I think an ownership can do, and that's listen to people, listen, get input. What do you need? What's the problem? How do we fix it? Can't draw free agents. Okay, well, what can you do in the NBA to attract free agents? You can, first of all, you got to build a team that people think can win a title. We can't check that box yet, but boy, it looks like they're headed in the right direction. Okay. The second thing, the arena, the training facility, the city you play in, those things, you can upgrade those. You can make the work environment. You can make the office a better place to go to. The Atlanta Hawks have done that. Now, there's going to be other things you can't control. They've always said, well, you know, you can't get free agents to come to Atlanta, Georgia, because players don't want to, no, they don't want to live in Atlanta. They like to visit Atlanta. They don't want to live there. Heard that my whole life. You can't do anything about that. If that's true, Tony Ressler can't control that, so he's not going to worry about what he can't control. But he's controlled the controllables in terms of being able to attract free agents. He turned the basketball side over to Travis Schlenk. That's the best thing an owner can do. Get out of the way. Love you, Arthur Blank, but you don't need to be telling Thomas Dimitroff what to do. Love you, Tony Ressler. You don't need to tell Travis Schlenk what to do. Let the baseball people, let the football people, let the basketball people handle the personnel decisions. You can check that box with Tony Ressler. And Travis Schlenk's knocked it out of the park. So when you start to put all of this stuff together, this is a different organization. There's a Hawks history. There's a long Atlanta Hawks history. St. Louis Hawks history, there's a championship in there. Atlanta Hawks history, been to the Eastern Conference Finals one time, and it was 5 years ago, and nobody on that roster is on this team right now. Nobody. Zilch, zero, nada. But you have a new ownership group. You have an updated arena, a first-class arena. You have a general manager that knows what he's doing. And you have a young nucleus that when they take the floor together, they're going to be fun to watch. The Atlanta Hawks, when you're sitting at home on a Wednesday night in the wintertime and you can't wait for Saturday to get here and there's no Braves baseball to watch, don't tell me you're not going to be watching the Atlanta Hawks. There's no reason not to. Oh, I don't really watch the NBA. I'm a college football fan. Well, don't watch the NBA on Saturday. I'm not. I'm going to be watching college football with you. But I'm telling you, this product they're putting on the court, going to be worth watching. And then you take that next step to be able to attract those free agents. Or you have, as a destination, you're appealing enough to where players would be open to a trade, a la Russell Westbrook to Miami. And now you're talking with the Atlanta Hawks. So, yeah, you can talk about the future of the Atlanta Hawks. You can talk about the future of the Atlanta Hawks being an Eastern Conference contender. Can't do it yet. Maybe, probably not next year either. But you get 3-4 years down the road into this, I'm telling you, Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter getting added to the mix of what we saw last year. And remember, this team was about – they were, if memory serves, 3 games under 500 from the time Mike Scott – or not Mike Scott. Sorry, I saw him on a – free agent tracker list earlier, former Hawk. No. John Collins. When John Collins came back, from that point forward, this team was about 3 or 4 games under 500. There's another offseason of development, and you add Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter to the mix, not to mention the Chandler Parsons and the Jabari Parkers, the Evan Turners, you know, some secondary off-the-bench role type players. We'll see what they bring to the table. But this team should continue to improve as to where players around the NBA look around and go, I think I can make the difference in Atlanta. I think I could go to Atlanta and win a championship. It's not far-fetched. We'll take a break. Back with more of the Bill Shank Show right after this. Welcome back into the Bill Shank Show. Russ Brown in for Bill Shanks this afternoon. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game is tonight. I am looking forward to it. And it's just, I tell you, this is one of those events on the summer calendar for me that I always look forward to. And then, look, I'm not going to sit down and watch all 9 innings. Although, if it's close and interesting, I may hang around for the whole thing. But as soon as there's 3 Braves in the mix tonight, Ronald Acuna Jr., Freddie Freeman, and Mike Soroka. And as soon as they're done, then I'll probably tune out again, unless it's a close game. I'm glad that this is back to being an exhibition. Home field advantage in the World Series is not on the line tonight. You know, I know with what happened in Milwaukee, what seems like ages ago now, you don't want to see the game end in a tie. But it's an all-star game. Who cares if it ends in a tie? And the knee-jerk and the overreaction to that was just silly. So we finally fixed it, and we can get back to having a good old-fashioned fun exhibition game. It's not like it used to be. It's never going to be that way again. the players, you know, and even before I started watching baseball, my dad would tell me about Pete Rose and how he took so much pride in the National League beating the American League. It's not like that anymore. It's never going to be like that. You don't have league presidents. You don't have separate umpires. You know, players move about freely from team to team, league to league now. So, and look, the salaries are going to change that too. I mean, come on. I mean, these guys, this is a country club. You go into a Major League Baseball clubhouse, and this is true for any pro sport, these are country clubs. You're just not going to have that blue collar mentality is going to be more, it's just going to be difficult to find in professional sports. It just is. It doesn't mean guys aren't trying hard. Doesn't mean the guys don't work on their craft year round. Doesn't mean the guys aren't passionate. Doesn't mean they don't care. But that little something extra for a game like tonight, it just ain't going to be there. But we're back to being what it should be, and that's an exhibition game and a celebration of the sport. Major League Baseball has the best all-star game in professional sports, and it's not close. It's not close. I don't know why the NFL tries to have an all-star game. I mean, maybe if you took the guys over to Hawaii for 2 or 3 weeks and had a mini training camp and a week of practice and put together a game plan and came out and actually played a game, it would be entertaining. What's the point of that? What's the point of that? Who wants to go over and train for 3 more weeks to play an exhibition game? The risk of injury. What team wants their star players over there doing that? I mean, they barely do anything now, and they still don't want to send their star players over. Guys, a hint of a cold or just wants to go home. They don't go play. There's not. You could football's. There's too many ins and outs. Okay, you see baseball played on a nightly basis. You see basketball played 3 or 4 times a week. There's a reason they play football once a week. You seen the Thursday night games where both teams played on a Sunday and then they play on Thursday night and how crappy that is? You just can't do it. It's not a sport that lends itself to an all-star game. Basketball, the NBA all-star game is just a huge disappointment now. I mean, see, and basketball is not like football. Basketball, I could go find 9 guys right now. Give us a basketball in a court. We can play a basketball game. We don't have to have a practice. We don't have to have a meeting. You know, there's an ebb and a flow to that sport that is fun to watch. And 10 random dudes at a YMCA or some gym right now can go out and have it put on a heck of a show and have a heck of a ball game. There is no the NBA, really, if you really, 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 really think about it, the NBA should have the best all-star game. They just should. It's the nature of the sport. Again, 10 guys, 2 hoops, and a ball. That's all it is. That's all you need. But it's terrible because nobody tries. Nobody cares. So baseball lends itself to being the best all-star game, and it's the nature of the sport. First of all, it's a lot like basketball. I mean, it's harder to find, I guess, 50 guys than it is 10, but or I guess you could say 18, but you know, they're going to use more than 9 players. You know, but you don't have to put a ton of preparation into it. And besides, with the technology today, I guarantee you, these National League guys with interleague play and the technology, they got a scouting report. By 3:45 in the afternoon, I guarantee you, guys in that clubhouse have the book on every American League pitcher they could face tonight. Every matchup possible. They can tell you all the ins and outs. Ah, he likes to start you with this. If you fall behind in the count, he tries to get you to chase with this. If he gets behind in the count, he tries to throw, you know, he tries to get a strike on you this way. So they probably have all that information. But you don't have to do as much detailed scouting and practice work that you would have to do with a football game to play baseball. But then the other part that, to me, that just makes the baseball all-star game so much better is, you know, in basketball, okay, and I'm just trying to put myself in these shoes, which this will never happen, obviously. But envision for a moment, if you will. I'm in the all-star game. You know, Jimmy Butler's coming down the court 100 miles an hour. I'm getting out of the way, and he's going to throw up an awesome dunk, and the crowd's going to ooh and ah, and it's going to be fun. It doesn't matter. You can't do that in baseball. If the ball's hit at Ronald Acuna tonight, he's not going to get out of the way. He's not going to help it over the fence, you know? You're not going to swing and miss at a ball on purpose. Baseball just lends itself. You can't really you can't lollygag in baseball. I mean, you can, but you really can't. You could get hurt. I mean, you got to pay attention. Line drives, you got to catch them. You know, there's not a lot of stuff you can do. I mean, maybe if your buddy's with the pitcher, he'll lay one in there for you. And maybe the next time around, you know, you make a strike three on a curveball look really good, like he really fooled you. Maybe some of that goes on. I don't know. But outside of that, you can't. There's really not a whole lot you can do to kind of goof off in a baseball game the way you see in the NBA All-Star game. So tonight's exhibition is it's the best in the pro sports. But really, I think we've reached a point in professional sports where the All-Star games are just they're never going to be what they were. And this isn't a get off my lawn thing, and I'm not even complaining about it. It's just an observation more than anything else. But if you have NBA TV, or you know, especially that. I'll never forget one day a couple of summers ago. I was just flipping around. There wasn't really anything on television. I think it was raining outside, and the 1987 NBA All-Star Game was on. And I just sat there and watched it. And the basketball and the competitive nature of it was just 10 times what you see now. You know, in baseball, we see the old clips. And again, I know I referenced Pete Rose earlier, but that him sliding into home plate, I think, is a vision. A lot of people who experience that are for those of us that were told about it and have seen the highlights. I think that's an image that's probably floating around in our head right now. It just feels like those days are gone, and it's a shame. But, you know, tonight we'll still get to see hopefully an entertaining game. And the other thing that jumps out to me about tonight is there's a real influx of young players here coming into baseball, and I think that's a good thing. The lineups tonight, catching for the National League, of course, is Wilson Contreras. We know Freddie Freeman's at first. You'll see Ketel Marte at second base. He plays for Arizona. We've seen him a couple times with the Braves, but that's a kind of a young player that's not really a familiar name. Javi Baez will be at short. Nolan Arenado at third. Yelich, Bellinger, and Acuna will be in the outfield. Christian Yelich, by the way, you may have noticed, did not participate in the home run derby last night. Obviously, he is going to play in the ballgame tonight. On the bench, and of these guys that are on the bench, one of these names is going to be your MVP, right? Because they come into the game later. You've got Grandal and Realmuto are your catchers. Josh Bell, Pete Alonso will replace Freddie Freeman at first. McNeil and Moustakas at second. Paul DeJong and Trevor Story will be at short. Anthony Rendon, originally on the team, he's out. Max Muncy has taken his place at third base. Chris Bryant, a reserve at third base. It's a pretty solid third base for the National League. And then a pair of Rockies would be your backup outfielders, David Dahl and Charlie Blackman. And again, that kind of takes me back to something we mentioned earlier. With Ronald Acuna Jr. batting ninth tonight, it looks kind of funny to see him that far down in the order. But if you think about it, Yelich, Bellinger, Acuna, that's a young outfield. Acuna's the youngest of the bunch. And you only have two reserve outfielders. So what that tells me is, while it feels like, I don't want to say a slap in the face, that seems too dramatic, but it's kind of, I guess, a jolt. I mean, seeing Ronald Acuna Jr. ninth in a batting order just gives you a little, what is that all about? But it just, to me, it means he'll be in the game longer. And so that'll be fun to watch. On the American League side, of course, you got, well, we should talk about the pitchers first. The pitchers for the National League, Hyun-Jin Ryu will make the start. The Dodgers hurler, we've seen him a couple times against the Braves. But you've got, of course, Mike Soroka, Max, Jacob DeGrom, Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Zach Greinke, Luis Castillo, Sandy Alcantara, Will Smith, Kirby Yates, Josh Hader, Felipe Vasquez, Brandon Woodruff. We'll replace Hader because he's not in it. Felipe Vasquez replaces Greinke because he's not there. And then Sonny Gray will replace Scherzer because he's not there. That's a pretty solid pitching staff there for the National League. On the American League side, Gary Sanchez, Carlos Santana, DJ LeMahieu, Jorge Polanco, Alex Bregman, Mike Trout, George Springer, and Michael Brantley will be your outfielders. I hate to do this, but I can't help it. Early on in free agency, Michael Brantley was linked to Atlanta. What if instead of signing Nick Markakis, which was kind of a secondary move to what I'm about to say, what if they had signed Michael Brantley instead of Josh Donaldson? Then Brantley would be in the outfield. Riley would be at third base. And I'm guessing on this last part, Camargo would be in left field. Would that be better? I don't know. But I know Josh Donaldson makes $23 million, and I know Michael Brantley is making $15 million. And I don't see Josh Donaldson's name on this list of all-stars. Okay, there. Got that out of the way. So, looking at the rest of the American League team, you got James McCann catching, Jose Abreu over at first base, Brandon Lowe, Francisco Lindor, Matt Chapman. We saw him in the home run derby last night. Mookie Betts, Austin Meadows, Joey Gallo, Whit Merrifield, Daniel Vogelbach. And then you'll see Gleyber Torres of the Yankees. He's replaced Brandon Lowe. And then Xander Bogaerts of the Red Sox. He is replacing the injured Pence in the lineup tonight. So the pitchers now for the American League, and there's a lot of these guys aren't going to make it, but Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, Lucas Giolito, Mike Minor, Jake Odorizzi, Marcus Stroman, John Means, Charlie Morton, Ryan Presley, Shane Green, Brad Hand, Aroldis Chapman, Jose Berrios will replace Odorizzi, Shane Bieber will replace Mike Minor, Liam Hendricks replaces Charlie Morton, and Masahiro Tanaka will replace Marcus Stroman. As all of the Stroman's dealing with a little bit of an injury, so is Odorizzi. Not sure what's going on with Minor and Morton. So that's what you're going to see tonight in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Again, we'll have it for you here on the Superstations. If you're out and about and riding around, maybe you need to run an errand or something and don't want to miss any of the action, just flip it on in the car as you're headed to wherever you got to go, run to the grocery store. I know I get sent out on errands to the grocery store often, and it comes in handy. I'll be listening tonight if I have to, but I'm looking forward to it, man. And again, it's an exhibition. It's not going to be what it used to be. We understand that, but it should be a lot of fun to watch tonight, and especially with the Braves having the kind of season they're having, Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna, two of the nine starters for the National League are Atlanta Braves, which is pretty cool to see. Of course, Brian Snitker's there. He was invited by Dave Roberts. How cool was it to see Snit down on the field at the Home Run Derby last night? You know, all the years that he spent in the Braves organization, all the years he's been involved with baseball, which is longer than I've been alive, and I'm not a young man anymore, that's for sure. He finally gets to go participate in an All-Star game. I thought that was pretty cool to see. Of course, Mike Soroka is going to enter the game as a pitcher at some time. I do think Acuna is going to be in the game for a while. Again, he's a starter in the outfield. There's only two other outfielders on the roster. Now, some of those infielders can play outfield, obviously. But I would expect, maybe with Acuna Jr. batting ninth and potentially being in the game longer, maybe that gives him a little bit easier path to the MVP. I think he already put on a little bit of a show last night. People got introduced to his opposite field power. Maybe tonight that gives him kind of the upper hand on being the All-Star Game MVP. Who knows? I don't know. Anything can happen tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to see it. Again, if you're riding around tonight, we'll have it for you here on the Superstations. You are listening to The Bill Shank Show.